Well, we don't get too much continuity on Zechariah, and so I'm sure it's difficult for us to have a continued study in Zechariah and kind of keep a little bit of continuity, but we'll continue on tonight. We're in chapter 8. We had begun last time we were together we briefly started that chapter. Did not get into it very far, so we'll kind of pick up there again tonight. What we had said last time was that in this chapter there are about at least 10, maybe 11, where Zechariah says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts," and then he goes on to give some things after that of what the Lord of hosts is saying. And so we'll kind of look at it in that way, and I think maybe we'll take these kind of in them. Maybe we'll look at about half of them, say about five of them, and then we'll take the other five. We'll kind of consider them that way. So let's begin here in chapter 8, and we'll read down through verse 7. "Again the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand, because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, what will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east, and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness." So, as Zechariah writes, he kind of goes back and forth a little bit between current people of Judah, and we'll see a little later that he will have an eye to farther down the road to Christian age. And so in Zechariah, the main point of the first few chapters, at least, is encouraging them to continue with the rebuilding and to carry on that work. And also, he gives them great assurances that he will be with them when they return to the promised land from the captivity, that he will take care of them. So in verses 1 and 2, the word of God came to Zechariah, and he says, "I am zealous for Zion," which is, we've talked about this before, that this was originally David's stronghold, and then it came to reference all of Jerusalem and then all of God's chosen people. So Zion now represents, in this verses, I think, his chosen people. They were his people, and his zeal for them led him to chastise them and then to bring them back to his favor. Verse 3, the chastisement is now over, and God will again return to Zion, his chosen people, and he dwell in Jerusalem, and he calls it the city of truth and his holy mountain, Zion. All of this he says to further demonstrate, I think, their return from captivity now. They've been in captivity for 70 years. They're now going to be returned to the land of promise, and also to God's favor. He's going to look favor. He had never left them. They had left him. They were still his chosen people, and he had a zeal for them. Verses 4 and 5, to reassure them now that they will dwell in safety, he uses the illustration that old men will sit in the streets with a staff, and because of their age, they'll be safe. The streets also will be full of boys and girls safely playing in the streets. So Jerusalem is not going to be invaded anymore by their enemies. Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed it. So now they're rebuilding, and it's going to be a safe place again to live. In verse 6, I think the wording of this verse is a bit different, what he's saying there, I think, that if this seems too good to be true, considering the past and all the enemies that had been around them, just know that it is not too good to be true with God. He has said it, and he will bring it to pass. Verses 7 and 8, again showing his determination to provide his people now with safety. He's going to bring people back from the east and the west, from the nations all around. I will bring them back. They will live again in Jerusalem as before. They shall be my people. God had never abandoned them. They had left him, and had left God for idols. And that was the main reason that they had been taken into captivity, because of their idolatrous worship and their disobedience, of course. Now we their God, not the idols, but now their God in truth and righteousness. And this is what God has always required of his people, and what he's always required of us. So that takes us down through verse 8. One lesson I think we can take as we go through this, and it really, as we look at Zechariah in total, is that what God says is what he's going to do. And we see this in chastising his people, is what he had said he would do, and then to bring them back, and to bring them back to Jerusalem, to Judah, and to safety. So what are your comments now down through verse 8?
Bill? Yeah, I think it was a very important thing when God pointed out it will be a safe place, that the streets will be filled with boys and girls, basically showing that life will go, telling the Jews, life will go on. You will still be able to have your families. He wasn't going to destroy them. He's saying that you will have a future. But he also is wrapped in they have to learn this lesson. And as it is, they had to learn it the hard way. But it shows God's mercifulness that he will let them keep their future going.
Yeah, very good. Things are going to kind of return to normal a little bit. They had their captivity. There was everything but normal while they were in captivity, and the punishment they had taken, and Nebuchadnezzar coming in and leveling the city and the temple and everything. Paul?
One of the things I see here is that God is forgiving. He keeps his word. He's made promises that the people can see that he has kept those promises. But I see forgiveness here, and like you said, a return to normal.
Very good. Yep. Thank you.
I think it's significant that he calls it, verse 3, the city of truth, because they had swallowed so many lies. God is showing that contrast. They were just nothing, but you followed them anyway.
And they'd been the perpetrators of a lot of those lies, hadn't they? Yeah, thank you. And God's city here representing Jerusalem, but God's, where God is always truth, isn't it? Truth and righteousness. So, yeah, very good. Thank you. He had a zeal for Zion, so His zeal was for his people. They were his people, and he was jealous and zealous for them, I think. So that's part of it. So anything else? Denton? Denton has one.
An interesting thing, the New International Version is slightly different than that of the New King James. Instead of zealous, he is jealous.
Yeah.
Which really makes it sound different. And then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, which would allude back to the jealousy side.
Yeah. Yeah, they hadn't been faithful for a while, had they? For sure. Before they were taken down. Good comments. Thank you.
We see again the concept of the remnant here in, what is that, verse 6. The remnant that was prophesied that would be returned, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It was the remnant. Not all of them are coming back. Not all of them are going to enjoy the glory of the Lord. And sometimes I think that we want to see everything all rosy, all together. And that's not the case. Only a remnant came back from captivity.
Yeah. You know, the 10 tribes. Did not return from their captivity, Paul.
When that temple was destroyed, that was where God met with them in that temple. And I think that was, we see from Ezra and so on, to get that temple built back. And where God will once again reside in Jerusalem, where the sacrifices are being made. And so that there's a lot of things got to happen before all this is going to come to pass. I don't think we have an idea of how long this will be. When you talk about the old men in the city, there's probably going to be a good while before. There's a lot of old men there. They could be, but children in the street, you know, and all, they're going to have to get that temple built. And so all this will come to pass when God will return to the temple.
That's right. And the whole city was going to have to be rebuilt. So a lot of work. Some of these old men could have returned from captivity. They could have been among some of those. Children could have come back with some of them as well, but they could have been there long enough that they got old and they had children too. So we don't know totally what the time was, but now go ahead, Ed.
To me, verse 8 foreshadows a new covenant, not necessarily the old. It's almost the exact language that in those days I'll establish a new covenant. And Hebrews has practically that same language, referring, of course, to the church and the gospel era. And that's truly when Jerusalem, for that brief time, was a holy city with over 5,000 believers in Jesus Christ, baptized believers. I think you mentioned before that some of this is present and some of this is future. And, Rick's study, I think, told us that even though people like Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah were truly righteous and sought the Lord and did the Lord's work, I don't think you could say most of the people were that way. And I don't think it was until Jesus came, established the church and the new covenant that it could be truly said that it was definitely a holy city. And from there, the light went out unto all the earth.
Yeah.
That's another prophecy.
Yeah. Thank you. I definitely think some of these can be taken both ways. And some of them, I know, are messianic. We'll get into some of those as we go on. They're clearly messianic. And this right here, too, could be taken that way for sure. The city was better now that they had gotten past their idolatry. So that made the city much better and the people much better. They certainly had some that were not as obedient, but by and large, the idolatry, I guess, was gone from the children of Israel when they came back from captivity, I think. It seems that way, anyway. Very good. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it. Let's take a few more verses here then. Verse 9, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For before these days there were no wages for men nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy for whoever went out or came in. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. So again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For these are things that I hate, says the Lord. So, again, some of these verses here, again, can be taken with a far view rather than for all of the children then. But I think mostly this refers to the return of the remnant. Be strong, you have believed the words of the prophets concerning the rebuilding of the temple. You heard this, you knew that this was would come to pass. So he says, carry on. And this is something that he was encouraging them to do. They had started rebuilding, and then they'd kind of slacked off, and now he's in Zechariah, he's encouraging them to carry on. Things are not like they were in times past. Times were hard. There was great opposition to the rebuilding of the temple and to the rebuilding of the wall. Verse 11 and 13, this is more assurances, I think, for the remnant to be blessed in the former days. Now all things will come together for their prosperity. They'll be blessed again, and they'll be prosperous. The fields, the plants, the seeds, the ground, the rain, we'll all have a bountiful harvest again. And not only that, he says, I will also reverse the way that you were cursed among the nations before. You were cursed among the nations, but now I will save you, and you will again be a blessing to the nations. Do not fear, but do the work you've been called to do, strong in your confidence in God's power. Encouragement, 14 to 17, encouragement again, admonition to do the thing that God loves and not the things that God hates. And he gives them a clear definition here. Here's what I love, here's what I hate. And the punishment by God to his people for their idolatry and for their refusing to change to the point that God would not change his mind. They were too far gone at some point, and God says, I will not relent. They're going to be punished. They're going to be taken into captivity. But now, he says, just as I was determined to punish you, I'm also determined to do good to you, to his people, to Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. Do not fear, but know that God will do it. God said it. He's going to bring it to pass. There are things that you should do, and they are opposite to what you've been doing, what the things that you have been doing. So speak truth to your neighbor. Give judgment based on truth, justice, and peace. Do not even think evil in your heart about your neighbor. Do not leave an oath to a lie. These things I hate, says the Lord. So, I think we can take in this one verse where he says you'll be a blessing now again to the nations. I think that we could surely take as a looking farther down the road, and that would be the fulfillment of the original promise, wouldn't it, to Abraham? That through your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Your comments on these verses down through verse 17, I guess.
I also, reading these, I think of the goodness of the Lord towards these people in restoring them to their land and giving them another chance. And when we read the next prophet, Malachi, you know, they were slipping back to their old habits of giving sick offerings to the Lord, unacceptable and so forth. And the thing that stands out to me in these 400 years from Zechariah and Malachi to the coming of the Lord, the main things that they developed were the sect of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the rebellious spirit of the Zionist, the Zealots, and so goodness did not continue in the hearts of most of these people, but rather self-righteousness and haughty spirit, and people still oppress the poor. The rich still oppress the poor.
Very good, thank you. And I think of the passage, and I can't call to my mind where it is right now, but they were teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, and that was one of their things that they were doing for sure, and they were setting up things for the people to obey. They were traditions. They were not part of the law, but they set those up, and they had the people do them, but they didn't have to do them. And so, yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, let's go on for the rest of the chapter. And again, anytime you want to come back and something occurs to you on these verses, well, feel free to do that. We'll read down through the end of the chapter here, beginning verse 18. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will also go. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So this continues the theme of more encouragement for the remnant, the many feasts that you enjoy and were not able to keep while you were in captivity. Now you will be able to keep these feasts. They will be a joy, gladness, cheerful days. Then he says, therefore love, truth, and peace. So something very important to God. He brings that up again and again. Peace from your neighbors, love, truth, something that was lacking in their previous days. The reason they were taken captive, they were untruthful. They did not peaceable among their neighbors. Verses 20 and 23, the words from the Lord of hosts in these verses seem to be pointing farther down the road. I think we can take that the way that this is written to the coming of the spiritual kingdom. And at least that's the way I kind of look at it. Some of these messages could have been for the current people, for all the people of now in Jerusalem, and will again be the center of worship, which it had been before, and now it's going to be the center of worship again, for prayer and for seeking the Lord. The Jewish people will again be respected by other people. But I think, importantly, it also seems to be speaking of the bringing in of the Gentiles. Inhabitants of many cities, many peoples, strong nations will come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. 10 men from every language. Similar prophecies are mentioned over in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 4, and in Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. So, some of this language kind of reminds me of Acts chapter 2, where they had people come from all nations, and they listed off the nations that had come from around the Mediterranean at that time, and men from every different language would come to Jerusalem, and people from strong nations. I think, without a doubt, he was speaking about bringing in the Gentiles here. The people will come from different places, many cities, many peoples. Okay, your comments down through the end of this chapter then.
Not so much a comment on these verses here, but, and it's been mentioned, the different groups during that 400 years it came to. The Herodians and all of those. So look at what has happened since Jesus was resurrected. The church has been denominated and false teaching for the last 2,000 plus years. And just as it was in that 400 years that these different groups came about, we've really had the same thing the last 2,000 plus years.
Yeah.
Especially since the first 100 years of the church. But we've developed basically the same thing.
Yeah. Very good, we have, and it really comes back again to teach for doctrine the commandments of men. That's where we get we're led astray if we take men's commandments rather than God's commandments. So I guess we're out of time here tonight. I appreciate everyone's comments very much. We'll start with chapter 9 next time we're together. I guess that'll be next Wednesday. Is Kevin doing two lessons? Kevin Ferguson?
He'll heard back from him, but he usually wants to do two.
Okay, so if he does that, then we'll begin this next Wednesday evening, Lord willing, then. So, okay, thank you very much again for your comments. I greatly appreciate them. Any other announcements tonight? Okay, Jack, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne asking that you'll be with us and bless us. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. Father, some of your saints throughout the world are facing difficulties and trials. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they will find you or find strength in you and the assurance that, Heavenly Father, you're with them. Father, we ask that you continue to be with those who are sick. Bless them, Heavenly Father. Heal them if it be your will, and help us grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.